And want to take this Bible verse and make it into its very own little topic here. Use some other cross-references, some of them we've used before. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse 14, the beginning of strife is as one, as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. Father, thank you again for the word tonight. I pray that you'll bless it. I pray that you'd help me to be emptied, Lord, of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may be filled with thy Spirit. God, please just preach through me as a mouthpiece your message tonight. And Lord, just prevent me from saying anything that would be a hindrance to your Holy Spirit. Certainly, I don't want to be an offense to these that are here. But Lord, help me to be obedient. Help me to say only in all of those things that you'd have me to say. I pray again that you'll bless our time in the Word. Bless the Word of God as it's sent forth and as it's received. I pray that it would be as the engrafted Word of God is necessary for us to grow thereby. And then let us go on, Lord, tonight, tomorrow, and the rest of this week unto perfection. I pray that you'll bless our time tomorrow morning, Lord, in handing out invitations. I pray that it would be fruitful, that our city would genuinely know that we care. And we don't only care at one part of the year or one time. Lord, we care all the time. But Lord, we never care more than what we care for their soul. And so I pray that you'd give us discernment. Help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thank you for standing. You may be seated. In 1963, the Federal Bureau of Reclamation, by the way, who was alive in 1963? Anybody want to care to admit it? Maybe just a few of you. I wasn't, in case you want to know, because I'm a very young pastor. In 1963, the Federal Bureau of Reclamation proposed the building of the Teton Dam along the Teton River between Fremont and Madison counties in the eastern part of Idaho in an attempt to relieve the drought from the previous year. Later, the following year, 1964, it was approved with absolutely no opposition at the state level. And in 1971, a $100 million contract was finally awarded to a company from Boise, assisted by an additional company in Nebraska for its construction. This dam was completed in November of 1975, and that month, after approval and the inspection, they commenced the filling at a normal rate, which they tell me is 1 foot per day of the Teton River. However, 5 months later, the snowfall was extra heavy that winter, and the project manager requested to double the filling rate in order to accommodate the spring runoff, and his request was, of course, granted. On June 3rd and 4th in 1976, three small springs were discovered downstream of the dam and were traced back to relatively small leaks in this earthen dam, and yet these leaks were considered normal for the time and for the part of the kind of dam that it was, and considered to be no danger because at the time the water was clear, which was apparently not that big of a deal. That was on June 3rd and 4th. On June 5th, at Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m., these leaks began to run muddy, suggesting that sediment had now flown through and had begun to disintegrate. That was 7:30 in the morning. By 11:55, one-third of the dam had disintegrated. Within 2 minutes, water at a rate of 2 million cubic feet per second was flooding down the canyon as people were trying to evacuate. By 8 p.m. that night, the entire reservoir was completely emptied as thousands of businesses, homes were destroyed, along with 14 people who died, all because of a leaky dam. Now, that may sound very interesting or very subsequental, but that devastation was all caused from three relatively small leaks that no one thought was a big deal. Did you know that's exactly what this verse teaches tonight? It really is. The Bible says the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention. Notice the key word, before it be meddled with. In other words, once water begins to flow from its source, it's very difficult to stop, and that's the same way it is with strife. The Bible tells us that the word strife here means contention and anger or enmity. It has to do with opposition. The heart of God is that His children, of course, as we go on to perfection, would become more and more like Christ every single day. So when you look at the life of Jesus, though at times many were striving against him. Isn't it interesting that he never strove back? Isn't it interesting that he never reviled back, though he was reviled against? In fact, the Bible even admonishes us, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with how many? All men. Now, strife is normally not the goal for us. I mean, we don't normally wake up and go, man, I'm going to be contentious today. Now, some of us are ornery at times. I would admit to that. But I don't know that strife to the point of contention or being an opposing spirit would necessarily be our goal. Nevertheless, it is a part of our life, and there are times when we find ourselves in the middle of it. And so tonight, in an effort really just to try to explain this first, but moreover try to apply it, I want you to take your notes tonight, and I want to really give you three biblical explanations of this matter of strife and how to strive against it, if you will. And so let's read the verse one more time together, Proverbs 17 and verse 14. The Bible says, "The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with." First of all, tonight I want to talk to you about the development of strife. The development of strife. Now, obviously, strife does not come from someone who's walking in the Spirit. Can I get an amen? I mean, that's a given. We need to operate from that standpoint. If wisdom tells us, listen, we need to deny the flesh and walk in the Spirit, then we understand that someone who is going to be contentious, or someone that's going to be opposed to the truth, or someone that's going to bring along strife, would not be somebody who is walking in the Spirit of Christ. The Bible says, in fact, in Galatians 5:20, when it speaks about the manifestation of the flesh, it mentions idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, and then these words, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. So by a Bible definition, we would agree then collectively that the beginning of strife is not going to come from somebody who is reading their Word of God and praying and walking in the Spirit on a daily basis and surrendering to the Holy Spirit and saying, God, I yield my members as instruments of righteousness, just like I used to yield them as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now I'm giving you my heart and my eyes, I'm giving you my lips, because I want to not do those things that I would normally do. By the Spirit of God, then I'm to put off those old things. So we know that's not where it comes from. But first of all, let's just talk about the source. Where does it come from? If it doesn't come from somebody walking in the Spirit, then obviously it comes from somebody walking in the flesh. And I want you to take your Bible and I want you to go through these verses. I listed them there. I didn't print them out because I wanted you to go through the Word of God tonight. I want you to circle them or highlight them or underline them, whatever your norm is. And I want us to look at the source. First of all, one of the sources of strife comes from the wrathful man. The wrathful man. The Bible uses the word wrathful, Proverbs 15:18. Are you there? Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. The word wrathful, you can just, it may be there already. Angry, is it there? Okay, so it just means angry. Another source for strife comes from the froward man. This is the individual that is ungovernable in their speech and not willing to yield in opposition. The Bible says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. The Bible tells us that another source in Proverbs 17:19 is the lover of transgression. He loveth transgression that loveth strife, and he that exalteth his gate seeketh destruction. So we start to see the heart of these individuals. Now, you could argue perhaps that they're all unsaved, but I want you to know that I've known a scorner or two that are saved. And I've been in the presence of the froward mouth and the wrathful man. By the way, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be walking in the Spirit. So we're talking about the source. Let's look at number four, the scorner. Cast out the scorner, and the contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. Proverbs 26, verse 20 talks about the contentious individual. This is the one, according to the Bible definition, is disrespectful or mocks counsel. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale-bearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. So we see the source comes from someone angry, someone who's ungovernable or froward and a lover of sin rather than a lover of God. Someone who's a scorner, someone who's contentious. And then number six, the proud. The proud. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. That's my life verse, that second part right there, shall be made fat. So, the proud. So we see the source. Now, we're talking about the development of strife. So let's go back and put it back into the working part of our verse, Proverbs 17, 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. So we looked at the source. Secondly, I want you to see the size. I want you to consider the size. Now, in the phrase, the Bible says in the beginning of strife, and then it says leave off before it be meddled with, and as one letteth out water. The idea, the indication is that it starts out small, like when you turn on the water. If you turn it on slowly, just a drip comes out. And you turn it on gradually and a little bit more. The leaks in the dam were relatively small at first. Those leaks then began to grow and begin to grow. And then as they grew, then they exploded the dam, and one third of it was completely toppled very quickly. So then it becomes much bigger. So my point in this is this. It only takes one small thing to initiate strife. One hot word, one irritable response, one angry demand, one spiteful contradiction. The idea then is that the one begets another one, that begets another one, that begets another one. So we're talking about the size. Now, what we may not think of as that big of a deal, oh, it's just a little strife and it's not that big of a deal. It's always a big deal if it's contrary to the Spirit of God. Now, consider the little matters that we would say are not that big of a deal. The word intimates, the Bible verse intimates that though it may start slowly, eventually it will let more out. Now, consider this. Song of Solomon says, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Galatians 5:9, it's a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. In fact, the Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So it doesn't have to be great or some big size or some great contention before it becomes a problem. It's a problem when it starts. Strife at its root, when it enters in. If God says, listen, I want my brethren to dwell together in unity, and I want you to see how blessed it is if strife comes into the church. I don't care if it's small or large. We need to stop it when it's small. Why? Because of number two, not just the development of it, but I want you to see the danger in it. The danger in it. Now, how many believe that the Bible's not written by accident? How many believe that? So then God knew what he was writing when he inspired Solomon to write this. And in the heart of the wisest man in the world, he's telling his son, listen, I want you to understand this. Strife is a bad thing. It comes out small, and if you don't stop the leak, it's going to get bigger. And it's going to be destructive. All right? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, we know that the church in Corinth is not the benchmark church for the age of grace. We understand that, okay? I pick on them a lot, and that's okay. That's what they're there for. They're all in heaven now, and they realize I'm right, okay? And that they were wrong. But you got to remember something. This church didn't start out wrong. This church started out right. The Apostle Paul spent a year and a half preaching to these people, winning people to Christ and baptizing them. They had Apollos come in, and they had people that were studied in the Word of God and helpful and encouraging. And now all of a sudden, sometime removed, Paul writes back and goes, I have a problem. Notice 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. Listen, for whereas there is among you envying and what? And what? And strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? Look up here. It didn't start that way. it turned into, as he'll say later, divisions. And he'll use the word concision. It's a schism. The dividing in the church. I'm of Paul, and he's of Apollos, and I'm of Christ. And now all of a sudden we've got people going, well, I speak in tongues. What do you do? Well, I prophesy. What do you do? Well, I mop the floors. You know, you have all these people that are toting around their carnal piety, if you will. And Paul's saying, hey, look, I can't even talk to y'all. Y'all are so backslidden right now. Anything that I say is going to bounce off of your forehead and not even cut to the heart. You can't even listen to me. What I really would like to say, why? Because there's strife. Now, you got to understand, it didn't start that way. It started small. And so, there was strife throughout the church of Corinth, but strife doesn't normally start out corporate. Never starts that way. It starts with an individual. Massive forest fires, by the way, are kindled by just a spark from a vehicle or the low glow of a cigarette. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. We used to sing that song. And so, the point I'm saying is this. There's danger in contention immediately, according to the Bible. So, I want you to see, even according to this verse, letter A, there's danger in the beginning. The Bible uses the phrase, when one letteth out the water, at the very beginning, when water begins to flow, when you take the pumps and you pump them, it's not like we have water pressure today. It begins to flow, and then finally, it starts to flow out. That's the idea. At the very beginning, there's danger. Secondly, there's danger not just in the beginning, there's danger in underestimating the strife. Where if something happens between you and your wife, you would do well to settle it in the quickest manner possible. If something happens in the church family, you would do well to settle the strife as quickly as possible. Amen. I get any amens then. I got one for the family, but none for the church. If something happens contentious or striving in your children's life, you would do well to have them settle the matter immediately. Why? Because it's going to fester and it's going to grow bigger and the bitterness is going to start to take over and the pride. Then everybody involved becomes a scorner and wrathful and all that begins to build up and God says, whoa, 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 don't underestimate the beginning of strife. In fact, notice in your notes in Matthew 5:24, leave there thy gift before the altar. If you know that someone has a problem and you know that there's strife, leave their gift at the altar, go thy way and first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. God says, look, don't let a little fire kindle a greater fire. Go and put it out. There's danger in the beginning of strife. There is danger in underestimating the strife. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. They'll get over it. They'll know that I didn't mean that, or they'll understand. No, 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 no. If there's strife, they don't understand already. God says, hey, I just want you to know there's danger. The Bible says the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water, therefore leave off contention. Watch. Before it be meddled with. Why? Because there's danger in underestimating. Number three, there's danger in overlooking it. It's one thing to say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. We'll settle it later. It's another thing to say, I'm not dealing with it at all. And God will just have to work on their heart. God will just have to work on their behalf because I'm not even going to mess with it. No, no, no. I want you to understand. The Bible says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not. And lie not against the truth. Don't overlook the things that are there. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. We do a great disservice, and I believe what the Bible would teach, a frustration to the grace of God, when we allow strife in at all. When we don't go and take care of it. When we underestimate it. By the way, don't do this. Don't underestimate the offense because you're not the one offended. I'll say that again. Don't underestimate the offense just because you're not the one that's offended. Because if it was flipped around, maybe you would be offended. By the way, have you ever been offended? How many have ever been offended? How many have ever had somebody come and try to reconcile the offense with you later? Okay? Half. That's not good. We lost 50%. Okay, now watch this. How many have ever had the strife or that offense when someone came to try to take care of it, and in the spirit of Christ, you felt, you know what, it really wasn't that big of a deal. I should have never got offended. How many's ever had that happen? Whoa! Every single one of you that said that it was settled. Now, that's awesome. Do you know what that is? That's the Spirit of Christ. That's awesome. That's the way it should be. It should be governed by the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says then, in Ephesians 4, verse 26, write that verse down. Be ye angry and sin not. Listen, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Boy, if we're going to strive against this, if we're going to fight for unity and fight for the Holy Spirit of God, God says, listen, don't even let the day go by. Before the sun goes down, before you pillow your head, before you say your last prayer, before you kiss your last goodnight, make sure that everything is put out. So the development of it, we all agree that it doesn't come from somebody who's walking in the Spirit. It's obviously from somebody who's contentious because they're walking in the flesh. There's danger then at the very beginning of an offense, at the very beginning of strife, of a disagreement, of a contention. By the way, remember this. Paul and Barnabas had contention. And the Bible says that it was sharp. That's the Bible word. It was so sharp that Barnabas took John Mark and left. And Paul chose Silas and left him with the other way. Oh, now, you say, does that mean that they were walking in the flesh? I don't know, but here's what I do know. I don't think that either one of them were walking in the flesh very long. And I do know that at the end of it, at least Paul's heart was right because he asked specifically for John Mark to come because he was a benefit to him later. Does that mean that Barnabas was a backslider? I don't know what it means. I can't assume any of that. Here's what I do know. What I do know is even among Christians, contention is real. Do you know why? Because we're all so proud. And we all have opinions. And our opinions, though they may not be biblical, are guarded by the animal dog of pride. That's my opinion. I mean, some of us guard even like truck manufacturers that way. Right, Brother Steve? I mean, for some people, now I don't personally, but for some people, it's a very contentious thing, what you drive and how you drive it. I'm just simply saying, isn't it interesting? I mean, we have a fun time with, you know, baseball teams or football teams or whatever. But aside from that, if we have an opinion, especially if it's a wrong opinion, it's amazing how many people will defend a wrong opinion if it's against the Word of God. It's amazing to me how many people will fight for their right to be wrong instead of saying, oh, well, now, wait a minute. By the way, can I just say this? The most dangerous strife to have is strife against God. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, hey, I just want you to know, you're wrong and I'm right. What are you going to say? Nuh-uh. Holy Spirit, I hate it when you do that. I'm offended. Have you ever been offended at God? Have you ever been offended that your toes got stepped on and the Holy Spirit put his proverbial laser dot right there? You ever been offended at God? Be very careful. I've met some people who are angry at the Lord. Miserable people. Miserable people. So, we looked at the development of strife, the danger of strife. Thirdly, and I am done. Aren't you proud of me? Say, preacher, we ain't proud of nothing yet. You still got a whole point. Number three, the departure from strife. Now, when I say departure, and the phrase here, leave off, it doesn't mean like run away, like I said, and overlook and ignore it. Oh, no, 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 you know, everything will be all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, we just run around and nobody ever grows. Nobody ever humbles themselves. Nobody ever apologizes. Nobody ever governs their words. That's not what I'm saying. The Bible says in verse 14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, or in light of what you know now, leave off contention before it be meddled with. The word leave off literally means abandon. It means forsake. It carries the idea that I'm not going to let this thing govern me. I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to make sure that it gets put out. I'm not going to let it be a point of contention. I'm going to let it be a point of grace. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let the mercy and the Holy Spirit of God take care of this most immediately. There is a great principle concerning the people of God and the importance of being part of one faith, of one baptism, of one mind, one members, being members one of another. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Listen carefully. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, can you imagine a church full of Christians like that? Nobody would ever have any problems. There'd be no complaining. Can you imagine if, oh, I don't even know if it helped them, but the children of Israel, if they learned that verse before they ever got out of Egypt, instead of all the complaining and the murmuring and why can't we have a cart and why do we have to carry this and why, where's our food and where's our water, all that kind of stuff. If people would walk lowly and meek, we wouldn't have any offenses. That's the goal now. God says, now, that's the ideal. I want you to walk this way, endeavoring to keep the spirit of unity in the bond of peace. However, it is prophesied by Jesus that offenses are going to come. It does say also, woe unto him by whom they come. So when they come, according to this verse, we need to deal with them. Leave off doesn't mean depart and fly away like I'm not going to deal with it. It means we're going to deal with it in the spirit of unity to keep the bond of peace. Why? Because that's what family members do. So how do we deal with it? The departure from strife. Letter A, we plug it early. We plug it early. There's a hole, there's a leak, you plug it. Right, Buff? I mean, that's roofing 101. There's a leak. I have a hole in my roof. Well, did you plug it? Did you put your finger in it to try to stop it? And by the way, I have one I think that's this big. I need more than just one hand. So if you'll come and put both your other hands in there. Plug it early. Look at Proverbs 15:18 in your notes. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger, what? Appeaseth it. Do you have it there? You don't have it. You have the reference for it now? Okay, look it up later. Trust me, it's there. He that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. You know what that is? I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm going to sit here, Randy, and I'm going to work this through with the Spirit of Christ for his sake, really. And I'm not going to let this leak out. I'm not going to let the devastation that flows. Why? Because I want to deal with it before it be meddled with. Before the word meddle, before it be meddled with there, means before it explodes. Before it brings the full force of the source behind it. That scorner, that angry individual, that wrathful man. Plug it early. Letter B, cork it humbly. Kind of going with the theme, plug it, cork it. Cork it humbly. Proverbs 23, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. You want to do a great Bible search? Just sometimes just pick a word and just put it in your processor, whatever you use, and just go with it. Man, these verses are priceless. It's an honor for a man to cease from strife. Listen, but every fool, interesting word, will be meddling. Every fool will be meddling. Plug it early. Cork it humbly. Letter C, block it lovingly. Now, what do I mean by that? Sometimes scorners can't be dealt with. That's the whole idea, the point of the word. They refuse to be dealt with. They are in such opposition to truth and to counsel that they're eventually in opposition to themselves going on to perfection. So the Bible says in that case, cast out the scorner and contention shall go out, yea, strife and reproach shall cease. It's amazing the liberty that comes to a relationship when there's no more problems. The same thing is true in a scorner, in a group of people, and someone who is just defiant, and someone who won't be humble, and someone who won't come into the arresting power of the Holy Spirit of God. God says, cast them out. Put him out, and I promise you, when the source leaves, there'll be no more strife. So, plug it early, cork it humbly, block it lovingly. Letter D, seal it scripturally. The verse that I read to you, Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2. Boy, going back and saying, Lord, I want to be right, I want to be lowly, yet let him who is spiritual restore such a one. But I want you to see the best way. Did you know the best way to strive against something is to strive for something that's the opposite? That's the best way. The best way to strive against strife is to strive for a greater goal. Notice what your notes say there in Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. You know, the reason that sometimes we struggle with envying or bitterness or anger or strife or contention or division is because we're not looking to Jesus. Our eyes are on ourselves. We come into services, we listen to preaching, we leave thinking only about ourselves. rather than the people who are out there dying without Christ. Rather than the people who are like us just prior to our salvation. Rather than thinking about the people whom we could touch, God says, listen, I want you, if you're going to strive, I want you to strive together. And I want you to strive for one thing. I want you to strive together for the faith of the gospel. Strife begins in the church the same way it begins at home. When people get their eyes off Jesus, their noses out of the Bible, and their minds on themselves. So let me challenge you tonight, this week, to keep your heart with all diligence and strive against strife. Say, Lord, I belong to you. I don't have any business putting myself in the situation. When strife comes, immediately plug it, cork it, block it if you have to. But say, Lord, I'm going to deal with this lovingly, lowly, and humbly. I don't want this dam to break. I don't want whatever behind this, whatever is the source behind this, I don't want it to break wide open. I would rather deal with it with the Spirit of God so that you could be glorified. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for giving us the victory. Lord, every battle that we'll ever fight has already been won.